nako kambo famba nao kubva kuna Shinso Manta vatasvika kumagumo echirongwa chedu ndokusiya mina Gibbs Dube.
Thanks, Blessing Zulu. Good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Saturday, October 18th, 2014. You are listening to Studio 7 live from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Gibbs Dube. Here are our top stories this evening. Some observers say First Lady Grace Mugabe is being used by her husband, President Robert Mugabe, in conveying his thoughts about ZANU-PF, currently ruled by factionalism.
There are things that the president could not say to some people in ZANU-PF, and he somewhat used his wife to convey the message. Because if you listen to her, she's chastising members of different factions.
Harare councillors are demanding access to Ebola test results of a Congolese student who was recently admitted to a local hospital suspected to be infected with Ebola.
We are still waiting for the results. As you are aware, we don't have the machines that can detect you whether it is Ebola or it's not Ebola. So we are still awaiting a report from Dr. Chondes.
And the Sanganai Hlanganani Tourism Expo is underway in Harare with a few buyers and exhibitors due to Ebola fears. Stay tuned. Some observers say First Lady Grace Mugabe is being used by her husband, President Robert Mugabe, in conveying his thoughts about ZANU-PF, currently ruled by factionalism. Political analysts who spoke to Studio 7 said President Robert Mugabe is aware of what is going on in his party, as his wife has caused anxiety in ZANU-PF through attacking perceived faction leaders, including Vice President Joyce Mujuru. In one of her Meet the People rallies, she attacked Mrs. Mujuru, claiming that she was allegedly corrupt and promoting factionalism in the party. Political analyst Mary Dube of Bulawayo Agenda says the First Lady's public statements show that President Mugabe is still in charge of the party, though Mrs. Mugabe has high political ambitions.
There are things that the president could not say to some people in ZANU-PF, and he somewhat used his wife to convey the message. Because if you listen to her, she is speaking and chastising members of different, what are perceived to be members of different factions. But my analysis is that she's being used. Maybe she started off being used by one faction, but the other faction saw that it could lose out, so it joined in. So now she's not belonging to any faction, per se. She's someone who is just pursuing her own ambitions. Which most people could be actually belittling, looking down upon, that maybe she's only looking forward to being the women's league leader. But I suppose she's launching her presidential ambition.
So, but do you think that she can actually go as far as that?
I do not think so. From what I've listened, she doesn't seem that much gifted in terms of really inspiring confidence from even members of her political party to really entrust her with that kind of high office. And in all honesty, I think we've seen it from the vice president that when the man is not to mean it in any bad taste, but when the man is the one that is a politician or has more stake in politics, when they depart from this earth, the wife usually suffers, because the fortunes, the political fortunes, usually go with the husband. So I suppose it's the same case with Grace Mugabe as well. Looking at the age of the president and looking at his role maybe moving forward, Grace might not have any muscle going forward. I think she might just end at being just the Women's League chairman.
Now, Mr. Dube, don't you think that President Robert Mugabe may be losing control of the party here? Is he in control?
I think he's in total control. But, you know, Mugabe, if he lost control, he lost it long back. he's being controlled. Actually, I think he's being used by different people. His legacy is used by many people in ZANU-PF.
That was political analyst Meli Dube of Bulawayo Agenda speaking with Studio 7. ZANU-PF activist and political analyst Morris Ngwenya says Mrs. Mugabe has a right to campaign for power in ZANU-PF.
Well, the president has always been in charge of PF in total control, and everyone in ZANU-PF here speaking openly that they are in support of the president to lead party. Well, the issue of factionalism, yes, it is, but some people only associate factionalism with the ZANU-PF politics, yet factionalism is a part of each and every society. Even in families, you find it where some children may be closer to the father than the mother. As people campaign, obviously they will be saying, I'm better than so-and-so. And they will also come up with all sorts of divisive elements so that they get preferred at the moment.
So, but there are some commentators here, Mr. Ngwenya. We are saying that, in fact, it shows that the First Lady has got presidential ambitions. The president is not in charge. What do you think about that?
The First Lady has been going to all provinces and meeting thousands of people. If she really had presidential ambitions, one would imagine that she should have used such a grand opportunity to announce that. But obviously she's in support of the president who has been elected and is still being supported by many.
Will you be surprised one day when the First Lady becomes the president of Zimbabwe? Is that possible?
Well, I wouldn't be surprised, because anyone in the country has an equal opportunity to be the president if they wish one day. But of course, at the moment, the people, the majority, have clearly given that mandate to President Mugabe.
That was Morris Ngwenya, a ZANU-PF activist and political analyst, speaking to Studio 7 from Harare. Harare councillors are demanding access to Ebola test results of a Congolese student who was recently admitted to a local hospital suspected to be infected with Ebola. Councillor Peter Moyo of Southerton says the local authority wants to have access to the results that were obtained in South Africa following an Ebola scare at Wilkins Hospital. The hospital was evacuated when the student was admitted in a serious condition. It was later established that she was suffering from malaria. Moyo speaks to Studio 7's Chris Gande about the Ebola results and related issues.
We are still waiting for the results. As you are aware, we don't have the machines that can detect whether it is Ebola or it's not Ebola. So we are still awaiting a report from Dr. Jones. As you are aware, he is now the director of health services. So he's yet to give us a response or something in writing to show us that it's not Ebola or it's Ebola. But I'm hoping that it's not Ebola.
But we understand from media reports that the results came from South Africa last Tuesday. How come you still don't have them?
We have not yet received a report from Dr. Chonzi. We are still waiting for him to give us that response and tell us, and then we will notify the nation whether it's Ebola or not. But I suspect it's not Ebola.
We understand the Ebola scare is still very much alive in Harare. Can you give us some more details of what people are saying and feeling out there?
People are just saying, if someone is coughing, they are saying it's Ebola. If someone is bleeding from the nose because of the heat, they would say it's Ebola.
That was Councillor Peter Moyo of Southerton speaking with Studio 7 from Harare.
Direct from Washington, the voice of America, VOA.
The Sanganai Hlanganani Tourism Expo is underway in Harare with a few buyers and exhibitors due to Ebola fears. On the line is our correspondent Thomas Chiripasi, who is currently attending the event. Good evening, Thomas Chiripasi.
Good evening, Zimbabwe.
Now, can you give us an update of what is going on right now at the expo?
Well, Gibbs, what I can tell you at the moment is that the tourism minister has just given his speech to officially open the Sanganai Hlanganani Travel Expo. So many exhibitors are present, including those from faraway countries such as Germany, UK, and Italy, as well as Indonesia. But I can tell you, Gibbs, the expo will be the curtain will be coming to will be coming down tomorrow morning.
We understand that Ebola fears have almost crippled the event. How is the situation right now?
Well, I have spoken to quite a number of exhibitors who were raising concerns and fears of the Ebola scourge. And apparently, the tourism minister, Mr. Muzambi, was saying that the international media should portray Zimbabwe in good light. Apparently, he was blaming the international media for saying that Ebola is in Africa without being specific. So he really said that there is no Ebola in Zimbabwe. But speaking to Sugar Jagonda, the spokesperson for the Zimbabwe Tourism Authority, he was saying that quite a number of exhibitors pulled out of the expo because of the Ebola fears.
But will this expo actually boost Zimbabwe tourism?
The Zimbabwe Tourism Authority says that they are expecting quite a lot of revenue from sales, as quite a number of international buyers have been in Zimbabwe. I've spoken to some buyers who have already indicated that they will be coming to Zimbabwe for conferences and safaris in Victoria Falls, to be specific. So the ZTA is saying that they are expecting at least $6 million before the end of this year that would have come in through tourism.
Thanks very much, Thomas Chiripasi, and stay well. That was our correspondent, Thomas Chiripasi, in Harare. It's now time for the Women's Forum with Marvelous Planganya Hoye.
Welcome to the Women's Forum, a forum where we look at issues affecting women, hosted by Marvelous Planganya Hoye in Washington. Today we are looking at some of the sacrifices that have been made by women to part with their husbands due to the economic situation facing the country. We're looking at a young woman, Rugare Chuma, who says she had to leave her husband in South Africa to go back to Zimbabwe to pursue studies while her husband continued to make a living in South Africa for the family. Welcome to the Women's Forum, Rugare Chuma.
Thank you.
Rugare, tell us a little bit about yourself. What are you doing day to day as a young woman in Zimbabwe, looking at the state of the economy and everything else that's going on?
At the moment, I'm a student at Queen's University, so I'm pursuing my honours degree in information systems. The economy is down, as you know, but we're just trying to keep up, maybe by studying, we like invest in it so that maybe later you can use it.
What are some of the major challenges that you're facing as a young woman trying to make it in this type of economy at the moment?
It's hard to get by, really. Like, financially, everything is down, and as you know, this economy, right, there are no jobs. You can't say, like, well, I'm a part-time student, so maybe let me try to, you know, hustle around, get a job or something. Things are just tight. So the economy is really bad. So it's affecting everyone, even males, but more so it's affecting women because, like, many women are still dependent.
How old is your child and what are you doing to supplement your income? You say that you're a part-time student.
My daughter is 4. To supplement, I'm kind of selling some stuff at college as well, living at home. And I've also got my husband. Yeah, he's not working in Zimbabwe, he's in South Africa, so at least he sustains us.
And how difficult is it for you? You seem like a very young lady, for your husband to go and work in South Africa while you're stationed in Zimbabwe with the child. How is that playing up, especially on your relationship as a family?
In believe me that it's really bad. Every day you go through this, you know, long distance relationship has never been good to anyone, but well, we get by. We just try to survive. Like, just look at the bigger picture. Like, he's working and I have to study and we have to take care of. So we just kind of reach a consensus that we just agree, like, well, there's no option.
How long was it before you and your husband actually decided that he would go and work in South Africa and you'd stay in Zimbabwe?
So far, we've been married for 5 years and we were staying together there in South Africa. So I decided, like, you know, it's better to just stick around and not do anything. So I came back so that I pursue my studies. So I left there, like, around 2012, end of 2012. That's when I came back. So last year, this year, I've been studying. So he came back sometime this year so that at least he may try maybe to find something here. Stayed for like 6 months and it was really bad that we were failing even to get like food, just the basics. So we decided like it doesn't work that he'd be here and maybe we would actually fail to be together anyway because we'll all be angry, you know, like when you don't have food, you know, an angry person is an angry person. So we just decided that he just go back and at least try to sustain us somehow.
And what type of work does he do?
Academically, he was trained to be an auto electrician, but now he's driving trucks because, like, he's got class 2 driver's license. So, yeah, that's how it is.
How do you keep the fire burning as a young couple?
By phone. Like, now you're talking to me and joining the States. Yeah, just that's how we keep it. Just that's how it's working. We just talk almost maybe after every 2 days, 3 days, or even a week, you know. But it's bad. It's just bad. But, hey.
And also, we've seen that you are not the only couple in Zimbabwe that is going through such a situation where the husband had to migrate to be able to fend for the family. Do you have some kind of support group that you have to help you cope? Do you have other women that have a similar situation to yourself, or how do you cope?
That's what a very big support system, like from the family. My family is very supportive, but like having other people to talk to about, no, I do know some ladies who got their husband working there. Like, seems like many people here, it's like that. But if you talk to them and hear their side of the story, you actually won't even like to be among them because it's pretty negative. Like, there are always issues. So you try not to talk about it so that at least you can maintain some state of neutrality or something.
What word of advice would you have for other young couples who are in the same situation as yourself?
Well, I would simply say try to be as busy as you can so that at least you won't get to think about everything. And don't blame anyone. Just try to work your way out of something than just saying the government this, the government that. Because really, no matter how much you blame them, nothing will just come through. So the best way is be sober-minded and work your way. Just work your way.
Time is not on our side. Thank you very much, Rugare Chuma, a young woman who was recounting her experience in which she had to leave her husband in South Africa while she trekked back to Zimbabwe to pursue studies so that they both can have a brighter future.
Thank you so much.
The Women's Forum was hosted by Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye in Washington.
Thanks, Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. We hope you are going to have a wonderful day. And finally, in sports news, Highlanders Football Club clashes with Harare City in the semi-finals of the Chibuku Trophy tomorrow as the Blue Giants struggle to dust themselves from a string of defeats.
Vamos a tocar con Bamburu. Se sabe, no se va a.
The music of Bundu Boy is coming to you live from the Voice of America in Washington. Now to recap today's top stories. Some observers say First Lady Grace Mugabe is being used by her husband, President Robert Mugabe, in